Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Turn with me in the Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me get there as well. We talked last, the time I was ministering to you, which was 2 weeks ago, from the book of James. And we talked about submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, and seeing him flee from us. And I want to sort of follow along in that this morning and look at some spiritual weapons that you and I have. Spiritual weapons. They're quite different than fleshly weapons or physical weapons or carnal weapons. They are spiritual in nature. Don't think just because they are spiritual, they are of any less power or any less value. In fact, think the opposite. Because they are spiritual, they are of a greater power and a greater value than anything physically that you could come up with. In fact, if you're fighting your battles, as this song talked about today, if we're fighting our battles, so to speak, in the realm of the physical, you've already lost. The devil's got you right where he wants you. If he gets you in the realm of the physical, he can get you mad. If he can get you angry. If he can get you fussing and fighting and fuming. If he can get you to rely on the hand of the flesh, the arm of the flesh, you've already lost. And so what we need to realize that is this, that our weapons that we have are spiritual weapons. Somebody say spiritual weapons. Again, spiritual weapons are greater. See, the Spirit came before anything you know about physically. How do we know that? The Bible said in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created the earth, heaven and the earth? Somebody tell me who did it? God. The Bible said in John, chapter 4, verse 24, for God is a spirit. And so spirit came before anything physical. See? And so in your life, your battles will be won in the spiritual realm. You may see some physical manifestation out there. You might see something happen in the physical, but it came in the realm of the spirit before it ever got near the physical. Your battles will be won that way. When you get healed in your body, some people say, I know I'm healed when I feel healed. No, that's not the way it works. You'll feel healed when you know you're healed. That's the way it works. The faith aspect comes first. The spirit comes first. I don't know I'm saved when I feel saved. No. You'll feel saved when you know you're saved. When by faith you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Somebody say amen. We know that's how it works. And so we're going to look at some spiritual weapons that the Bible talks about. Look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 1. It says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Notice meekness, gentleness of Christ. He's not about to do any kind of physical battle here. By the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in the present am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Now, notice he's saying, you know, I'm just like you guys. I'm base among you. Not with you now, but I'm really going to speak up to you now. Verse 2, and I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, if our boldness comes to a place to where it just seemed like a fleshly demonstration, that's not what we're about. That's not what we're doing. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, you are a flesh being. You are a physical being. I mean, you know, years ago, there was this movie that came out, I believe it was called Elmer Gantry. Anybody ever saw Elmer Gantry or heard about that? He was sort of like a con man preacher. And Elmer Gantry sort of preached this message, if I could get to the devil, I'd bite him. And if I could bite him, I'd kick him. I'd kick him, I'd hit him. And when I'm old and when I'm going, I can't bite him, I'll gum him, he said. But all that had, and I understand what he's doing. He's just doing a little preaching spiel. But all that had something to do with the physical realm. Devil ain't worried about your teeth or your gum. Somebody say amen. He's not really at all. He's not. But that's what we think sometimes, if we could just do something. And there's a lot of actions we want to take in this life about doing things. We want to do things physically. I mean, you know, the different things that you can do in life that puts a physical body out on the line. We think about that. Oh, that's good. That's great. Well, you know, that may be part of the equation, but that certainly isn't where the answer is found. The answer is found in the realm of the spirit. Because you can do a lot of things physically. And it won't pay off for you unless the Spirit's in it. And so we have to put the Spirit first. Now notice he said, though we walk in the flesh, we live in flesh, we all know that. But that's not where the battle is. We don't war in the flesh. Everybody say, we don't war in the flesh. You don't war in the flesh. That's not where the battle is. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But now they are mighty through God, and they will pull down strongholds. In other words, the biggest barrier the devil puts in your life, the spiritual weapons will pull it down. The greatest attack against you that the devil has ever thrown against you, when he's filled your back full of arrows. I mean, when he's filled up your shield and it's so full of arrows, it's about to tilt over. You got so many arrows in it. And the devil's looking at you smiling, and he's loading his last missile that he's going to shoot at you. I mean, he's going to fire everything he's got at you, all of those things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, and they will take down everything that the devil brings against you. What does the Bible say to us about our implements of battle that we get dressed in? The shield of faith and the word of God, all these things, the helmet of salvation, all these things. It will stop every fiery dart of the wicked one. He don't have the ammunition that'll take you down. I mean, he didn't have a 22, a 38, a 45, whatever you want to call it. He don't have a big enough weapon to take you down. He's got some big ones, and we're not denying that. Because how many know the devil really does like to run his mouth? He does, doesn't he? I mean, he likes to be boisterous. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He'll make a big show. It'll look bad. I mean, it'll look like it's all coming down on you. But none of his weapons are equal to the spiritual weapons that we have. For the Bible says the weapons we have will pull down every stronghold that he brings. A stronghold is the greatest place. I mean, it's a place that's locked down airtight and they got a hold on it. That's a stronghold. A stronghold is usually the last thing that the enemy takes. When warring factions come together and armies come against armies, they, you know, pick out these little things. And sometimes when they see a stronghold, they'll say, we'll just go around. We'll go around. And they go other direction, that kind of thing. Then they come back and deal with them later in the battle. But the thing is this, the stronghold, the biggest place that the devil has got in your life, in my life, spiritual weapons will take care of it. It will pull down every stronghold. Now notice verse 5, cast down imaginations or thoughts contrary, and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that's against the knowledge of God, cast it down. One thing that the knowledge of God is that our weapons are spiritual and they are mighty and they will pull down every stronghold. And so anything that says something different, that casts it down. When the world says you're going to lose, no, I'm not going to lose. When the world says you're not going to make it, no, I'm going to make it. When the world says you don't have enough, no, not only do I have enough, but I have more than enough. When the world gives you every kind of stronghold message and indicator they want to send your way, cast it down, anything that's contrary to the word of God, the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See that? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One of the most powerful things you can do in life is bring your thoughts into captivity to where your thoughts don't tell you what to think, but you tell your thoughts what you're thinking. You are the one that are in control of your thoughts, not your thoughts being in control of you. And so when we look at this passage and we see those scriptures and we hear what it's saying about what we're doing, verse 6, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience with your obedience is fulfilled. When you fully submitted to Christ, we talked about last time, and you're fully submitted to him and you're completely obedient to him, you're not holding anything back in reservation, you've given Christ your all. I mean, you've just really laid everything at the foot of the cross, and he has become your Lord. At that point, then you can begin to revenge some disobedient things that happened in your life, things that are out there, things that have come against you. How many knows you can get back what the devil stole? Amen? The Bible teaches that, particularly in the Old Covenant. It talks about when you find a thief, when you find him, you can require back sevenfold what he stole from you. When you find him. Now, as long as you're thinking God did it to you, you hadn't found a thief, okay? But when you recognize what the devil has tried to do in our lives, then you found a thief. And you can demand and require back payment, just payment for that debt. Now then, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 12. Now, what I want to talk to you about then is just an array of spiritual weapons. An array of spiritual weapons in the scripture, a selection of them that are talked about in the Bible, and weapons that you have. These are things that you have in your life that you're able to use against the enemy so that you'll be the one winning and the enemy will be the one that's on the losing side. How many knows you're on the winning side? Amen? Everybody say, I am. I'm on the winning side. I developed a saying many years ago, and I've said it numbers and numbers of times. I always heard people say things like this. Why does everything bad always happen to me? I got so tired of hearing that and everybody saying that till I just verbally begin to say many times in my own personal life, Sheila, why does everything good always happen to us? It seems like everything we do works out right, doesn't it? And she said, yeah. She's all with me on that, all on board on that. Why not turn the filthy unbelief and doubt language of the devil? Why not turn it against it? Why not use it for your good? Amen? In fact, let's just give you a shot. Everybody say, how come everything good always happens to me? Now somebody say, Jesus. There's your answer right there. Amen? Amen. Turn it around. Turn that language around. Because you'll never get into victory until you turn your language around. One thing that you learn and a lot of things that we do and that kind of thing, Sheila and I took Taekwondo for 7 years, and one thing that we learned, with every strike that you make, every block that you do, every kick that you execute, all of those things that you do them with a scream. I mean, if the kick don't get you, the screaming will. You know, I mean, you do it with a scream, particularly if it hits you back. But that kind of thing. I never knew about all that screaming in Taekwondo, how real it was, until we went to some matches and that kind of stuff. Boy, you hear the screaming then. But anyway, but what do? You got to let something out your mouth. Your words are coming forth from your spirit. Let them out. You ever notice how you feel better when you begin to praise and worship God? Well, there's a lot of components in that, but part of it is you just releasing your spirit. You'd feel better if you got out of jail. Somebody say amen. Same thing. Let your spirit out. Let us out. All right. Now let's look at one of the basics here that we begin with when thinking about spiritual weapons. And one has to do with authority. Everybody say authority. You can't do anything till you got the right to do it. You have to have the right to do some things. Now, this morning, you couldn't go down to the bank. Bank's not open this morning, that kind of thing. If you want to go later tonight. But anyway, no, it's not open until tomorrow. If you went down to the bank and made a demand on somebody else's money, they're probably not going to honor that request. I mean, every time Sheila and I go to the bank, we always make up some story. I mean, the other day I went to the bank and I'm sitting over here, Sheila beside me. I said, I'm dealing with this. Quick, call the cops. This lady beside me is stealing everything I got. And she looked at me, because she didn't know me at first, but she learned me over the weeks. But you can't get money out of the bank that you don't have authority to get. Amen? You know how you got authority? You got authority when you signed that signature card on your checking account, didn't you? They look at that signature and they say, there's your authority right there. These are the people. If you're not on a signature card, you can't make a withdrawal on this account. You don't have the authority to do it. Then you go places and you do different things. They want to see your driver's license. They want to see a picture ID. They want to see information. Are you who you're supposed to be? Because if you're not, you don't have authority to do this or do that, whatever the case might be. And so if you're going to come up against the enemy, you're going to have some authority in your life. You have to have some divine orders that someone's given you and a reason for executing the battle that you're about to take place in. You got to have that authority. Now, you know what? The good thing about it is, if you've been born again, who's been born again, say amen. If you've been born again, you got authority. You were given that authority when you were born again. Let's look at it. In John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him. How many has received him? Somebody say amen. Then that'd be you, wouldn't it? Everybody say, that's me. As many as received him. That's me. To them, or to me, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You became born again by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You received your salvation. You became into the family of God, a child of God. You became a believer by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says here that he gave the power to become. Now, it doesn't mean that there's two kinds of power that are mentioned in Scripture. We find power that is represented with brute force. in Scripture. Many times that's by the Greek word dynamo, dynamis, that we see in Scripture, such as Holy Spirit power. It's just power to do something. When God spoke and the worlds were created, when he spoke, there was authority, but when the worlds were created, there was this power that was exercised. And the power to do something, to make something happen, a powerful, an explosion of energy into the world that you and I live, the power that's out there. This word here, when he says he gave them power, it's not talking about that kind of power. This word here, power, has to do with this understanding. He gave them authority. He gave them the right, the legal, God-ordained right to become a son of God. Notice, as many as received him, you've got a right. What gave you that right? You received him and you did what? You believed on his name. And so when the devil comes a-knocking, so to speak, your way, who do you think you are? You respond, I'm a child of God. What makes you think of that? Because Jesus said I was. That's why I am. And you know, the devil will bring up all kinds of things against you. But the answer is never to respond at all his nitpicking things he brings up against you. The answer is always go back to Jesus said I was. That's why. I've got the right. Who gives you the right to live and walk like a king and a priest in this earth? Jesus. That's who did it. Jesus gave me that right. Who gave you the right to say that you can have victory in life? Jesus did. He did. If you got an argument, argue with him. Because he's the one that said it. He's the one that did it. And he's the one that through his divine power made it happen in our life. I got the right to be a child of God. You got rights. Somebody say, I got rights. When I'm going to be a child of God. And I think we ought to, you know, really plead our case in this earth for every right that legally and justly, some not even legally haven't been made law yet, but that justly are ours in this earth. You need to claim every right and privilege that you've got in this country. Amen? Whatever it is. You got rights. You got privileges in this country. You got authority here. God's given it to you. Now, here, by the name, we receive that authority. Somebody say this. Say, Jesus. That name is a name which is above every name. That's the name that has given you the right to be a child of God. Turn with me to John chapter 16. You're right there in the book of John. Going down to John chapter 16. That name is so powerful that not only does it bring a new birth experience into your life, but in John 16 and verse 16, Jesus said this. He said, a little while and you won't see me. Remember, Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going to die for 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's going to rise again, come back to life, show himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then go back to heaven. And when he goes back to heaven, you won't see him. That's what he's saying. A little while, you won't see me again. And a little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. Now, he's prefacing all this. He's going to the Father. What are we going to do? And think about the disciples. What are they going to do? They've been disciples of the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years now. They've been following him, doing everything that he says to do, living like Jesus lives, acting like he acts, all these kind of things that they're doing in you know, for Christ and this kind of stuff. But they've been doing it all through his authority, through the power of Jesus. And now he's saying things are about to change because I'm going back to heaven. And when that happens, here's the deal. Look at verse 23. In that day, what day? That day I go to the Father. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now, don't just go crazy over this thing, okay? But Christians aren't supposed to pray to Jesus. We're supposed to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, understanding that, you're not going to be on your way to hell just because you said, Jesus, help me, okay? But our legal right to the Father is through the name Jesus. And we pray to the Father God. Now then, notice verse 23 again. He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So there's a divine order prayer. You ask the Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, Father. Say this. Say, in the name of Jesus. I come. You're there. Amen? You're there. How'd you get there? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Other than that, you didn't have any right to come before the Father. But in the name of Jesus, you just pull right up in the front row. I mean, you're right there with it. Now then, notice verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I'll no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. In other words, you're not praying to Jesus, you're praying to the Father. That's the power that we have in prayer, and it comes through the name of Jesus. So one of our spiritual weapons that we have is the name of Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you something there. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and look along about verse 24. Now remember, Jesus just said, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going away. You're not going to see me. I'm going to be there. You'll be down here. You won't be able to see me. I'm there. And that day when you pray, don't pray to me anymore. Pray to the Father. Now pray in my name. That's what gets you there. But pray to the Father. Now then, if we look in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, what does the Bible tell us? For Christ does not enter into the holy place made with hands. In other words, Christ is not somewhere still on the earth, working in a temple of here on earth, which are figures of the true, but in the heaven itself. How many believes Christ went to heaven? Amen? He did. In the heaven itself, what's he there for? Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. He's in the presence of God for you. And so don't think about, Jesus, you left me. What happened, Jesus? Why'd you leave me? He went to heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. I couldn't get into heaven. You couldn't get into heaven. But Jesus could. And so he went there for us. How many know if we needed to have a discussion with the president today, I don't think any of us would get into the office. Okay? But now we might could call on one of our congressmen or senators, maybe, I don't know, but probably, maybe we could, and if the need was great enough, they might could get in and see it for us. And so when we go before God the Father, it's not as if I don't have to go in because I got somebody there for me. Jesus is there representing me. Amen? He's there representing me. In fact, you're there, and this is Hebrews. Look at what? Hebrews chapter 3 is along about verse 1 or so, or whatever. Hebrews 3 and 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. He's the high priest of our profession. The high priest of what we profess, what we say, what we confess. That's why when Jesus said that, he said, when you pray, don't pray to me, pray to the Father. Now what's happening? Jesus is in heaven. He's there for us. What's he doing? He's representing me according to my profession and my confession. That's exactly what's going on. And so you know what? You could think about it like this. When you're on earth, you're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. And listen to this. Your words are coming out the mouth of Jesus. Right beside of God the Father. So it's just like you're right here, you're praying, and Jesus is taking the words that you pray and speaking them right to God the Father. And what I like about that is, in the book of John chapter 11, Jesus said this, Father, you always hear me. You always hear me. And so you don't have a right to say, I prayed in the name of Jesus. I don't know if God heard me or not. Get away with that doubt and unbelief. When you prayed in the name of Jesus, absolutely God the Father heard that prayer. Amen? He heard it. Why? Because of you? No. Because you're good? No. Because you had a great need? No. Because you're hurting? No. Because you prayed in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is by the Father representing you right now according to your confession and your profession of faith right now. And so that's how it works. That's what's going on. That's one of my spiritual weapons. Well, the first thing I can do is I can call on the Father. You know, today when we look at army and warfare, one of the great things that happens nowadays, I mean, they got the guys in the tanks. They got the guys out there in the different kind of airplanes and weapons that they have and the great military assets that they have that they can use in war. All those are good. But you know what I found in nowadays is better than the tanks and the weapons and the bombs and all this kind of stuff? One of the greatest military persons out there right now is some little 18-year-old kid, 19-year-old kid sitting there on his laptop, dialing in from the satellite above and dialing in coordinates to the back where somebody's about to drop something major on some of the enemy. Communication. Communication. What was one of the first things they did in some of the wars that, you know, we really fought years ago and that kind of thing? You knock out the communication first. Because if they cannot, you know, communicate with headquarters, the army is in disarray. And the battle's all but half won at that point. You've got to mop up some stuff. But you know what? You got a communication straight to the Father. One of your greatest spiritual weapons is the name of Jesus that gets you there. Look with me to the book of Philippians. Look with me, Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, and the book of Philippians. Let me show you something there. Power of the name. The name of Jesus. In the name. Somebody say in the name. Say in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If I was hurting my body, I'd say in the name of Jesus, body. You be healed in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease, flee my body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Body, you be made whole in the name of Jesus. In the name, not because I said it, because I'm praying in the name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. Oh my, the Bible teaches us in the book of James that demons tremble at just the sound of that name. You want to give the devil the shakes and make him call for another nerve pill? Begin at saying in the name of Jesus around the devil. In the name of Jesus. Put the devil to quaking. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. Somebody say, highly exalted him. Gave him a name. See this? Gave him a name that was above every name. He's got a name above every name. How many know sickness is a name? How many know heart trouble is a name? How many know cancer is a name? You know, bad health is a name. But the name Jesus is above every name. Oh my, if I could tell you how many times I've said that walking through my study and praying and just believing that. Thank God it's a name above every name. The Bible says in the Old Testament, He is Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God Most High. Nobody higher than God. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to bring against you. Let him huff, let him puff. He don't stand a chance with God. It's the Most High God. It's a name above every name. Somebody says, you know what's going to happen to poverty? Well, that's a name. That's a name, but Jesus' name is greater than that. All through life you can find things with a name, and His name is greater. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Oh my, praying that prayer in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease, bow in the name of Jesus. You're bowed in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Don't give up. Don't quit fighting. Don't struggle with it. Just depend on the name. Of things in heaven. It doesn't matter what's in heaven. Where God's at, all things are in accord there, but in the heavens above our earth. Where the devil's the prince of powers of the air. In that part of heaven, in heaven, are things in the earth. Are things under the earth. I mean, all those kind of things. You hear about the different mythology and those kind of things. Zeus was what ruling the heavens, and then Poseidon is ruling the sea and that kind of thing. And Hades, there was another Greek god that they said was ruling in the earth. And when this was written, everything, it don't matter if it's in the land or in the sea, in the air, under the earth, on top, it doesn't matter. Every single thing is subject to the name Jesus. Notice verse 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, the thing about it is this. When you and I begin to stand in our authority, you're not boasting in you when you stand in your own authority, when you think the authority that God's given you. Your boast is in the Father God. It gives God glory. I mean, somebody see you and say, well, who do they think they are? And they say, it's not who they think they are. It's who their daddy is. You haven't met him yet. Who their father is. That's the one that gets the glory. Amen? And what little kids say, my dad's bigger than your dad, right? My dad didn't beat up your dad, all those kind of things. Oh, hey, amen. We got a dad, there ain't nobody laid a glove on him, amen? I mean, none, not at all. They can harass, they can laugh, they can anger all they want to. And the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 2 that God sits in the heavens and laughs at the derisions of men. I mean, all this stuff that we get so bound in our mind with and so hurt with and just so struggle with, are we going to make it and can we do it? What's going to happen to me now? All that stuff needs to be washed away because you got power in the name of Jesus. That's what's going to happen to me now. Is what's about to happen to the devil now. What's about to happen to the adversaries? They're about to come down. Amen? I mean, that's what you need to do. You need to stand and just realize those things. But believe God for those things like that. It's the most amazing thing if you depend on the name. And believe, I stood in the lawyer's office one time and three other attorneys were against me. And I stood in the lawyer's office, and we came up to something, and God had just showed me something the night before. Never read it before in my life, but it was a legal technicality. And in that day in that office is when it got broke. It got broke the night before when God showed it to me, but when I was in the office that day and those three attorneys said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, that, and the other. And I said, uh-uh. They said, what? I said, no, that's not what we're going to do. Because the law says this, and I read them the law that I had the night before, and I said, y'all were supposed to give me warning that this was going to take place, and I didn't get any warning. They each looked at each other and said, did you give me any warning? You didn't tell him? You didn't send him a letter? You didn't do this? And all of them fiddled and fumbled around and said, no, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. And then they looked at me and they said this. They said, well, look, would you just be good about it? And just, you know, really, you know, just let's be friendly about it and just say you don't have to have your warning for it. You don't have to have your 3 days notice. So I said, uh-uh. I said, you guys are fighting me for everything you're worth, and I'm coming against you one step harder. Ain't nobody doing nothing till you give me that warning, and I'm not going to do it. One of the lawyers turned to me and cussed me for everything he could cuss me for. I mean, right in a lawyer's office. Cuss me. Just cuss me. Call me all kind of names. He said right there, what did I say to him? I didn't say nothing to him. I said, that's one of the reasons you're going to lose this case right now, because you can't curse what God's blessed. Amen? But it would have been easy to back up and say, oh, they got me now. They got me now. I got a name. Everybody say, I got a name. Now, I've been to the Father in that name, and the Father's told me everything's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Glory. Somebody say, I got a name. Glory to God. Look with me. Look with me, Acts chapter 3. I want to show you something here, Acts chapter 3. You got to depend upon that name. I'm out of time almost. I want to show you this. We're going to shut her down. But look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my. If we just stand up. Stand up and go to the fight. Somebody told me one time, I don't like this fighting stuff. All this stuff about fighting. I just want to sort of relax and be calm and just sort of lay here and all this violence. Well, you can be relaxed and you can be calm too. You know, when you're out there looking and you knowing what God's doing for you, you can still be relaxed. But you still got to show up for the battle. Amen? There was a bunch of them calm people in the days of David when he went out against Goliath. And Goliath went down into the valley, and every day, for 40-something days, he's out there cursing their God. And they all back up in the trenches, you know. They all, you know, fortified. They got, ain't nobody going to get them. They too far back. You can't throw a spear far back as they are. You're not going to get them. And Goliath's cussing their God. And David's coming. Who is this guy think he is anyway? We need some people in the church right now in the center saying, who does the devil think he is anyway? Some of you need to say that. When you can get the things from the enemy, who does the enemy think he is anyway? Do this to me. No. Ain't no way this is going to happen. Ain't no way it's going to happen. You need to stand up on your faith and on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Look at Acts chapter 3. Believe in the name. Now look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went up together into the temple, the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, now, there's a lot you could get from this, but notice they're going at the hour of prayer. You want the name to have power in your life? It does have power. It does. Everything else is absolutely true. But you're only going to sense that and have a revelation of that and operate it based on the fact whether you've been at the hour of prayer or not. You're going to have to bow your knees to God the Father and spend time in his presence so these things become a reality to you. If some of this stuff I'm saying this morning just sound like a, you know, a joke or sound like, wow, well, anyway, it's all right, I guess. If it sounds like that to you, you need to spend some time in prayer. And prayer will reshape and remold your thinking and remold your spirit man to where you'll begin to see these things and begin to hear them for yourself in your own spirit man. But they going up at the hour of prayer. That's what they do. Christians pray. Somebody say Christians pray. The Bible said in the book of Acts that Christians, I heard something this week, I spit and I just all throwed up, all kind of stuff when I heard this guy say this. And he was talking to his congregation, and he talked about, he said, well, we're followers of Jesus. We're Jesus followers, and I am. He said, we're Jesus followers, and for some of you that the word Christian is offensive to you, then we just really need to understand that we're Jesus followers. Just forget that word Christian if it's a problem for you. And I said, Cyril, did you hear what this nut just said? Said, don't, you know, if you're ashamed to say you're a Christian, just say you're a Jesus follower. Now, I'm going to say I'm a Jesus follower. I am following him. But there's a difference in being a follower and being a Christian. And that one point, this guy got a big old church that said this. And the thing is, if I bring you in here and I say, okay, just say we're all a bunch of Jesus followers, okay. But the Bible said in the book of Acts that they were first called Christians at Antioch. It's a biblical word in the first place, okay? And the word Christian means Christ-like. Now, you can follow somebody and not be like them. Amen? And that's where they're letting this stuff, greasy gospel. Greasy words, Toby. Slid right off the tip of people, right on the tip of my tongue. But slid right off the tip of his tongue. Greasy words. And they just go in here. Is there anything wrong with saying I'm a Jesus follower? No. That's all right. But if you want to exclude Christian, yeah, you do have something wrong then. You do have something wrong then. And so we want to back away from saying, I'm a Christian. Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Everybody say, I'm a blood washed Christian. Hallelujah. Somebody asks you next time they see you, well, do you have faith in Christ? I'm a Jesus follower. I'm trying to be my best. Or come out, boy, I'm a Jesus follower, man. Yeah, I'm a Jesus follower. And I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I am a Christian. I act like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and talk like him. That's why I'm Christian. I'm like him. And I just follow him. I might not be like him. I might be just following for the ride and hope I get to hang on once, you know, we can go where we're going. But some people just hanging on will get slung off if they don't, you know. Anyway, notice this. Verse 2, a certain lame man, mother's womb, carried there, laid daily at the gate in the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Been there a long time. Who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. He saw Peter and John, he said, you know, could you guys give me some support? For me, I don't have any other way of getting any money. Ain't nothing wrong with him asking. That's the only way he can get it. And so I need you guys to help me. Can y'all help me? Nothing wrong with them helping him. No doubt they'd helped him before. But this day, something is different. Something is different. Peter and John have made a trip to Pentecost. And this Jesus they followed around and was like him the best it could be, all of a sudden came to live inside of them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And now they got something a little bit better than money. Next time somebody asks you for some money, say, I got something better than money. Everybody say, I got something better than money. Amen. Reverend Ike had it wrong. I mean, I had it right one way, but wrong on what he's talking about. You can't lose with the stuff that I use. I ain't talking about money either. I'm talking about Jesus. Look what he said. Peter fast his eyes on him. Can you imagine that? Let me say, there is something about the man of God when he puts that look on you. I mean, man, it will melt you. It will melt. I had a man of God talk to me one time, and he said to me this right here. He looked at me, and he looked me eyeball to eyeball and said something to me. And when he said, I said, what you talking about? What you talking about? I mean, I didn't say no to him, whatever. I said, what you talking about? Go ahead and tell me. And he told me. But here it says here, the man fast his eyes upon him with John, and he said, look on us. The pride. Peter and John, look on us. Who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? They're people that know something. In a minute, you're about to see what they know. Look what he says. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Oh, man, he's fixing to load up my week. He's fixing to give me whatever I want. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Notice that. Ain't got no silver, ain't got no gold. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. But I got something. Everybody say, I got something. Oh, Lord, somebody say, I got it. Oh, I got it. I got something, he said. I got it, he said, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk in Jesus' name. Ooh, he had something. You know what he had? He had the name. He had the name. That's what he had. What you got? You got the name. Same name. Name hasn't changed. Name hasn't been changed to protect the guilty or innocent, whatever they say. The name is still the same. Somebody says, oh, no, that wasn't the name. Yeah, he prayed in the name of Jesus. And we do when we come to the God Almighty. Yes, we pray in the name of the Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Got to say it real Pentecost. Jesus. You know, we pray in the name of Jesus. All that we pray. Yes, we pray in the name. That's all right. And somebody said, but that was Peter. That was John. They're disciples. When we see pictures of them, they have halos over their head. They're disciples with halos over their head. You don't have a halo over your head. It wasn't a halo over their head.
It wasn't the fact that they were disciples. Peter just got through backsliding and came back to God. I mean, he just got through cussing him. You want to bring that up too? I mean, no, this has changed. Something's happened to them. Something's happened to them, and they tell you what's going on. Go all the way down in verse, look what it says. Oh, man, look what happens. And the lame man which was healed, verse 12, and Peter saw it and answered to the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us that though our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk?" Peter said it wasn't ours, our holy right living, or we're doing our best to live right. It wasn't that. It wasn't through our power that we did this. It wasn't that. Something else has gone into play here. Look down to verse 16. He said his name. Everybody say his name. Through faith in his name. There's the key. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given them this perfect soundness and presence of you all. It's his faith in his name. We don't have time, but if we went to Acts 19, we read about some fellows. In fact, there were seven of them. I mean, these fellows, they believed and gathered in two or three. They gathered in five, six, and seven of them. And they found this one demon-possessed guy. They were going to take him on. And when they began to take this demon-possessed guy on, the devils that was in this guy jumped out of them and jumped on all seven of them, ripped their clothes off, and run them out of town. I mean, I don't know if Ray Stevens wrote the song "The Streak" from that or not, but it had been a good one because they were gone. They were streaking, man. They were out of here. Let me tell you something. Don't you go up against the devil unless you got something more powerful than what you are. He'll embarrass you and run you out of town. Amen? But you don't have to go up to him what you just got or what I got. If you did, we both in trouble. Hey, if you go up against the devil with just what you got and you want me to join with you with just what I got, it is going to be double the catastrophe. That's all it's going to be. Because you hadn't got anything that I hadn't got anything other than what God's given us. But what he has given us is the thing that does the job. And what he gave us is the name. Now you say, well, I don't know about that name. Well, I made the name, you know, who knows? Jesus is and Jesus and all that. Whoever, or whatever we're talking about. No, look what it said in verse 16. His name through faith in his name. The name is as powerful as you believe it to be. You see that? His name through faith in his name. That's why some people can literally curse God. That's why people can, you know, just, even some people pray in the name. Don't get nothing. I mean, they don't. Why? You got to have faith in the name. What is faith in the name? It's believing the name will do what God said it'll do. It's believing in the Jesus that stands behind the name. It's believing that Jesus has gone to heaven, stand by the Father, and is executing the authority of that name today. Believing in that. What is believing in that? Believing in that is, man, I'm going to lay it all down. I'm going to put it all down, man. I mean, my whole life is on this thing. I'm laid it all down right here at the foot of the cross. I live or I die. I live or die based on my faith in God Almighty. That's where it's got to be. Let me tell you something. I know in churches today that we just want a little touch, a little this, but let me tell you something. God wants everything you got. He wants everything you got. Your head to your toe, to your soul, to your heart, your spirit, to your emotional life, your physical life, finances, whatever you want. He wants it all. And to the degree that you give him everything you've got and everything you are will be the degree that comes back toward you. For the same Bible we read about last couple weeks ago, you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. You get close to him, he'll get close to you. You can have just as much of God as you want to have. You can have just as much blessings as you want to have. You can have just as much whatever it is in Scripture that God's promised you can have it all. You can live and you can not die. I know it hurts. Man, I understand that the feelings and emotions and the nerves situations and all the coming when the doctor gives you a bad report and it looks like you're not going to live. I've been there, man. I know exactly what I'm talking about on that issue. I know it hurts. I know the things that can come against you around that thing. But I also know this. I know the power of the Lord God Almighty to take that situation and turn it into a miracle in your life. I know that too. Thank God for him. Not a perfect man by any means. I really am not. But I have seen the glory of God. Amen? And I expect to see it a few more times. How about you? How about a whole lot more times? Amen? Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer today in Jesus' name. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hands toward heaven. Let's pray. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I recognize now that my voice is not just isolated to this earth or my world, but my voice has now entered into heaven itself before the throne of you, Father, because of the name. So in the name I live. In the name I will decree. In the name I will pray. In the name I will cry out. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And all my enemies will bow in Jesus' name. All those who are against me will come to naught in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise, Almighty God. You'll receive all the glory. None of me, all of you, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.